Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel and to our Friday study series called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today as we continue in this series centered on the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide based on Bob's book of the same title, of course. If you don't have a copy of the study guide or the book for that matter, well, visit basicgospel.net and you'll find a link right on the homepage and you can order either or both, and we would love to get them into your hands as well. But right now, Bob Christopher is the man with lots of good news to share with us through the study called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. So let's check in with Bob right now.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're on our last study in this particular series. We're going to finish it up today.
Goodness.
And I tell you, this has been an exciting journey for me to go back through this book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and to really take a deep dive into what the grace of God really is all about in our lives, why it's necessary, and how the grace of God is not only the grace that saves, but it's the grace that sustains. It brought to us new life, and we are now living that new life in a new covenant by a new way, by the way of the Spirit. And we see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul is writing about the difference between the law of Moses and this new covenant. And here's what he says in verse 3 of that chapter, that this new covenant is written by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So when you come to Christ by faith, the grace of God starts to write a new story in your life. And it's written by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is etching this on your heart. And we see that in the very first promise of the new covenant, that God is going to write his laws on our hearts and in our minds.
Yeah.
So we see this is something that is going to come from within, come from what the Spirit of God is doing at the very depths of who we are. Now, this new way of life is marked by a new command, and that's what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. And this new command is the love of God. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. So when we are loving one another, we know that the very love that we're extending to others, it is sourced by God himself. So that is a confirmation in our own heart and our own lives that we truly are connected to the one true God, because God is love. And the fact that we're loving others is proof that God abides in us. And that's what John says. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So there's the contrast. If you see love out there in the world, it's because God is sourcing that love in and through people. If you see everything else that we see out there, it comes from a place of darkness, and it's carried out by people who don't know God.
Yeah.
If they knew God, they would know that he is love. Now, that's what distinguishes us as believers in Christ. That's our mark. That's what God has marked on us through his Spirit. He has poured the love of God into our hearts through the Spirit of God, and we have the opportunity to love one another. Now, Jesus gave that command right before he died. He washed the disciples' feet, and he said, I'm doing this to show you the full extent of my love for you. And then at the end of that, he made this comment. He said, a new commandment I give to you. So this is not like the old commandment. It's a new commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Now, the law said that we're to love one another, but here Jesus elevates it. He puts it on a whole another plane. He says, I want you to love one another just as I have loved you. So back in the law, love others as you love yourself. That was the golden rule. But here Jesus is elevating it, and he's taking our eyes off of ourselves, how we would want to be loved and those sort of things, how we would want to be treated, and he puts our eyes clearly upon Jesus Christ. And so he says, love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Now, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Now, there's a whole there's a whole department of theology, a whole area of theology that we know of as apologetics.
Yeah.
And that is an area of theology that examines all the historical evidence concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ. Was he actually raised from the dead? How do we know? And so when you look at that and see the historical evidence, then you can make a defense when that question is asked of you. How do we know that he's God? How do we know that his claims concerning himself are true? So all of those things are a part of that apologetic branch of theology. We look at the Word of God. How do we know the Word of God truly is the Word of God? But here's some evidence that I think is even more powerful. When we have love one for another, that is proof that we truly are Jesus' disciples. The world can look and they can say, these people truly love one another. That's evidence. That's powerful evidence. That's real, tangible evidence that people can see as we learn to love one another. Now, this is our new way of life. This is what God has called us to. This is what God has equipped us to actually live out. Why? He's made us new. We've talked about that, the fact that we've been given a new heart, a believing heart in Jesus Christ. The fact that we've been made righteous, that our sins are forgiven, and the fact that God has sent his Spirit to live inside of us. So when we love one another, we know that that love has been empowered by the very Spirit of God. So that is our mark. That's what distinguishes us. It's Jesus's way of saying what Paul said in Galatians, that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Mm-hmm. So Jesus laid that out there, and then Paul gave an explanation. As we trust in Jesus Christ, we're going to express that trust and faith in Jesus Christ in love one toward another. Now, as believers in Christ, we have some freedom. And Paul says in Galatians 5:13, this is how you're to use the new freedom that you have in Christ Jesus. Before, you didn't have any freedom. You were bound to the law of sin and death. You were controlled by the ways of this world. You followed after them. You followed after the ways of the prince of the power of the air. You lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. You were bound. You were enslaved to sin. Mm-hmm. Well, Christ set you free. Christ liberated you. And when the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. So you've been freed from the law of sin and death so that you can freely enjoy this new life. So Paul in Galatians 5 says this, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So what were we called to according to Galatians 5:13? We were called to freedom. That's why Christ set us free, so that we could experience freedom. And how are we to use this freedom as children of God? Well, not to indulge the flesh. We're free to do that, but that's not going to be beneficial to us. It's not going to be beneficial to others. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. That's true freedom when we serve one another in love. Now, we see some incredible examples of this in the Word of God with the apostles. And one that just strikes my heart in such a deep way is really the life of Peter. You know, Peter was impetuous. He was always the guy who put his foot in his mouth and, you know, always saying to Jesus, hey, I've got your back. You know, yeah. You can count on me. I'm your guy.
I'm going to build an altar.
That's
here
right.
For the
that's
three.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, consider this. Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to have denied me three times. And Peter was like, no, not me. I would die for you. And sure enough, after Jesus' arrest and after his trial by Caiaphas, and Peter was kind of close in close proximity to all of that activity, he was approached three different times, and hey, you knew him. You were a part of his entourage. You were a close disciple, and each time Peter said, "I don't know him. I've never known him." And on that third time, that rooster crowed, and Peter was just undone. He unraveled, and he wept bitterly. He knew he had disappointed himself. He had disappointed the Lord Jesus Christ by not standing firm and saying, I know Jesus. He was afraid, fearful for his very life. But after the resurrection, there's this beautiful story that's recorded for us in John 21, where Jesus restores Peter. Mm-hmm. And when we take a trip to Israel, we always go to this site where folks think that this actually occurred. And it's right on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. It's peaceful. It's beautiful. And you're just overwhelmed with emotion when you realize what happened. And you think about your own failures, your own times where you think you've disappointed the Lord, and how he's always restored you, how he's always lifted you up, how he's always just extended his love to you in the fullest way.
Yeah.
Well, this is exactly what happened with the Apostle Peter. And Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, you know that I do, Lord. And he said, feed my sheep. And he said it again, and then he said it again. And he lifted up Peter and said, you haven't disappointed me. I knew that you were going to fall flat on your face, but that's why I came to die and to be buried and to be raised again. And I am going to give you power, and when that power comes upon you, you're going to feed my sheep. And some of the first sheep that he fed were there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And Peter stood up in boldness, this guy who had denied the Lord to a little servant girl,
Yeah.
Someone of no regard as far as society and power and all status and all of those things were concerned. But Peter was afraid, and he said to this servant girl, I don't know the Lord. 50 days later, he stood up with boldness, and he looked at those who had crucified Jesus, and he said, you whom crucified Jesus, God has raised him, and in raising him has announced that he is both Lord and God, and it's through faith in him you can have eternal life. He wasn't afraid that day.
No, something changed.
Yeah, something changed, and it was that power of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of that, 3,000 Jews were added to the body of Christ. Then he went to Samaria. And then in Acts chapter 10, he goes to Cornelius's household in Caesarea by the sea. Now, why is this such a moving story to me? Because those two groups, Jews and Gentiles, were bitter enemies.
Yeah.
They despised each other. There was no love lost between those two groups. And Peter knew if he went into that household, according to Jewish law, he would be defiled. Mm-hmm. And he would have to go through a purification ritual to be accepted back into the community.
Yeah.
But at this moment, Peter was being motivated and compelled by a higher law, this command to love others as Christ has loved you.
Yeah.
And so Peter, under the power of the Holy Spirit, marched into that household, and Cornelius said, we're here to listen to whatever you have to say, and outpoured the gospel of Jesus Christ from the very lips of the Apostle Peter. And those Gentiles were added to the body. The Holy Spirit was poured out on them. They received the gift. And Peter stood after that in Jerusalem and explained the event and said, who was I to stand in the way of what God was going to do in the lives of these people? Yeah. And I learned right there and then that God shows no favoritism, and that they, the Gentiles, are saved by grace in exactly the same way that we are. That is freedom. That is true, genuine freedom, to be compelled by the love of God. That's what marks us. That's what makes this Christian life so otherworldly. Yeah. It's not of this world. It comes from God.
Yes, indeed. Wow, that is just good stuff, Bob. Thank you for that. Friends, it's Basic Gospel, and this is our study through Bob Christopher's Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. To get your copy, visit basicgospel.net, and you'll see the link right there on the homepage. We'll be back to our study in just a moment, but I want to emphasize that if some of the things you're hearing are new to you, well, ask us about them. We encourage you to contact us, and we'll gladly accept the opportunity to clarify anything that you don't understand. Just call our listener line now or over the weekend and leave a voicemail with your question. Also, please give us your first name and let us know where you're calling from. We will answer your question on the air next week on Basic Gospel. The number is 844-322-2742, and it's open for you at all times. Again, that's 844-322-2742. A quick reminder also that we need your support to keep this message of God's love and grace and the Lord Jesus Christ on the air and online. Visit basicgospel.net and click donate to make your gift and help others hear the same good news that you hear every day on this program. Again, that's basicgospel.net. And when you make your gift, we want to send you our 2-CD series called Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. It's our way of saying thanks for your support of this message and this ministry called Basic Gospel. So be sure to request your copy when you make your gift at basicgospel.net. Well, now back to our study, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and here again is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So as Peter stood in that Gentile household and he proclaimed the goodness of God and the person and work of Christ Jesus, they received the good news. They were saved. They were added to the body. And we have that same privilege. We have that same opportunity to make the Lord known, to make his love known. And I love what Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippians. He said this, that as you work out your salvation, knowing that God is at work in you to do and to will of his good pleasure, you're going to shine among them, the people of this world, like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. That's what Peter was at that very moment in Cornelius's household. That's what we can be as we hold out the word of life for people and say, hey, here is God's invitation to you, that by grace, through faith, you too can be saved. You too can be raised to walk in the newness of life. Today is your day of salvation. Simply believe and let God transform you from the inside out. Let God cross you over from death to life and send his Spirit to take up residence in you. So I've always loved this little verse in Philippians 2:15. We can shine among them like stars in the sky as we hold firmly to the word of life. Yeah. Now, that's why it's so vitally important for us in our lives to make it a priority to grow in the grace of God. That's where this life flows from. That's where this life is. It's not anywhere else. It's through the grace of God. And that's why we see all the writers of the New Testament, the apostles, really hit the note of grace hard and loud and often.
Yeah.
Why? Because that's the rhythm of life. That's the melody of true, genuine life, the grace of God. Paul, at the very end of his life, he was headed to Jerusalem. He knew there was going to be trouble up ahead for him, but he had already come to the point of knowing that for him to live is Christ, to die is gain. So he knew whether he stayed or whether he went to be with the Lord, it was a win-win situation. So he gathered the elders at from Ephesus. They met at another location, and they had this very personal encounter. And Luke records it in Acts chapter 20. And in that conversation, Paul said this, "I count my life, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." What did Paul's life count for? What did he want to do more than anything? What was the race that God had called him to? It was testifying to the good news of God's grace, the gospel of grace. So wherever he went, grace was on his lips, grace was on his heart. Grace was the message that he proclaimed to Jew and Gentile alike. And if you read all of his letters, every single one ends, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you." Every single one of his letters. I think that is telling as far as the importance of the grace of God to each and every one of us. Well, Paul wasn't the only one. Peter was the same way. And at the end of his first letter, chapter 5, he says this, "I have written to you about the grace of God, clearly about the grace of God, and now my encouragement to you is to stand firm in the grace of God." This is where God has given you access to, the grace of God. You stand in it. And he's saying, stand firmly in that grace. Don't let people try to knock you out of that strong foundation. Don't let the accusations of the enemy or the ways of this world or any of the desires of the flesh try to have their way in your life. You stand firm in the grace of God. So that's how he ended his first letter, and then he writes a second letter. And at the end of that, chapter 3, verse 18, he says this, "I want you to grow in grace and grow in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." So both Paul and Peter are ending every single letter on this high note of grace. This is the crescendo. This is the everything that God wants us to know in our lives, the grace of God. And you know what, Bob? For eternity, we're going to be looked at as trophies of God's grace. Listen to these words out of the book of Ephesians. "God raised us up with Christ, and he seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." So all of creation will look at us and see we were the people who experienced the grace of the Lord Jesus.
Well, you did it. What an incredible study this has been, Bob, and thank you. And to all of our listeners, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. It's been such an incredibly encouraging and fun study, Bob, and again, I just thank you for everything that you've done to bring it to us and the staff as well. So thank you for that, my friend. Well, friends, we hope you'll ponder the things that you've heard today and through the study and realize that God's grace is abundant. And it's not just for some, but for everyone, including you. And if you have questions about anything you've heard on today's broadcast or the earlier broadcast as well, we encourage you to call and ask about it. Our phone number is always open for you at 844-322-2742. And we'll welcome your call. Again, that's 844-322-2742. And when you call, please tell us your first name and from where you're calling. Well, over the weekend, take a look at our upcoming conference. It's called United, and it will feature Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. It's going to be a fantastic time together mid-October, and we want you to be there. All the information and registration at basicgospel.net/united. That's basicgospel.net/united. We want to see you at this upcoming conference. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you again to join Bob online Sunday mornings, 9:30 Central, for Sunday Morning Live. Link to either Facebook or YouTube at the top of our homepage. That's basicgospel.net. Well, we'll be back on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel, and we hope you'll be with us. In the meantime, we wish you a blessed week in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So see you on Monday, everybody. Bye-bye.